To mislead the enemy about his real objective, Stoneman, on April 12th, was ordered to spread the word that his cavalry was heading to the Shenandoah Valley to chase rebels there. The next day, Butterfield had his signalmen send the same message about Stoneman's Shenandoah mission by flag using the old code. Rebel signalmen intercepted and decoded the Union message and alerted Lee. The rebel commander took the bait, reporting to Davis that he believed Hooker's cavalry was heading to the valley. Jeb Stuart, Lee's cavalry commander, remained suspicious that some sort of feint was in the works here, but he nevertheless moved his horsemen far west to intercept Stoneman in the Shenandoah. That move created a 20-mile gap between Lee's infantry and Stuart's cavalry, where there were no Confederates to spot Stoneman's real path. On April 13th, Stoneman's large cavalry force began to move out. To help preserve secrecy, Hooker had the Washington postmaster hold up mail from the Rappahannock area for 24 hours. A violent rainstorm on April 15th, however, swelled the Rappahannock, forcing Stoneman's cavalry back to the north side of the river. When Hooker notified him of the delay, Lincoln telegraphed back, "I greatly fear it is another failure." Undeterred, Hooker abruptly altered his plans, again thanks to intelligence Sharp provided. Between Fredericksburg and the point where the Rapidan River emptied into the Rappahannock northwest of the town, there were two feasible crossing points. At U.S. Ford, just south of where the Rapidan fed into the Rappahannock, and at Banks Ford, farther south. It would be difficult for Hooker to lay pontoon bridges at either site if the Confederates put up a fight there, which he was sure Lee would do. So rather than trying to battle his way across those two fords, Hooker decided on a maneuver. John Babcock, Sharp's walking enemy order of battle calculator, had already charted the makeup and strength of Lee's force all along the Rappahannock. It was critically important now for Hooker to receive any updates on the whereabouts and strength of Lee's units. Sharp's Information Bureau supplied him with that intelligence. Thaddeus Lowe's balloons and Yankee observation stations atop towers and trees could easily see the position of Stonewall Jackson's troops from Fredericksburg eastward. But the two divisions of Longstreet's First Corps that Richard Anderson and Lafayette McLaws commanded west and south of Fredericksburg were in the heavy woods of the wilderness and difficult for the Federals to observe. The location of those two divisions was important for Hooker as he rejiggered his battle plan.